High Plains. This is a project that's been going on for about 8 years. I want to thank some of the guys that have been doing the heavy lifting, Joe, Heath, Scott, and Casey on our research team, as well as a group of different agencies and programs that have supported this project over the 8 year period, especially Texas State Support Committee of Cotton Incorporated. We're going to have cotton in the West Texas for a long time, for the foreseeable future, but there are changes taking place. Certainly the most notable is the decline of the water table. But there's also need for other crops. We've got diseases in cotton that are benefited by having alternative crops, as well as we've got a large confined feeding operations in the High Plains that need something to feed cattle and hogs. Annual rainfall is about 18 inches per year. 10 of those come during the growing season. So the general question is how best to capitalize on the available rainfall that we do get in row crop production. And then the next question is what effect do rotated crops have on subsequent cotton production, either a benefit or a negative response. So the general goal with this was to develop crop response data eventually for crop growth and economic decisions, models or what have you. The irrigation treatments were three. The first one was pre-plant only. We'd apply up to 3 inches. The second treatment was applying 3 inches in season plus the whatever pre-plant. The third treatment was applying 6 inches, up to 6 inches during the growing season plus the potential 3-inch pre-plant. The cropping sequence was a 3-year rotation, 2 years cotton, one of an alternative crop. The first 6 years we looked at forage sorghums, then sunflower and safflower. Last 2 years, we switched these alternative crops to corn and grain sorghum at two different relatively low populations. Crops were managed separately and by irrigation level. Used water conservation strategies typically associated with dry land production in our area. We did irrigate with the LIPA method, Podlight LIPA method. Irrigations were pre-planned, again, up to 3 inches of pre-plant irrigation just prior to planting that crop. Then the seasonal irrigations were a function of the development of the plant, critical needs of that plant or that crop, and then the timing of whatever rainfall it may have taken place. And then up to 1 inch of water applied per application. This is set up under a half of a center pivot, 24-acre area. That pivot was divided up into sections for different irrigation treatments, and then within strips, this is farmed in a circle, within those strips we had alternative crops located. So we moved these alternative crops then from one location to the next over the course of a 3-year cycle. I'll show you a little bit of data from 2017 and 2018. This is a cumulative growing season rainfall from May 20th through October 1st. And again, this is 2017, a little bit wetter than 18. 18 was very dry, particularly early in the growing season. Over the course of the 8 years, you can look at the cumulative growing season rainfall and see it varies very widely in our area. So the response from year to year on very limited irrigation is quite variable. Okay, this past year, or the past 2 years, we had corn and sorghum, minimum tillage, so we finally have a situation where we have some residue left on the surface. And this is grain sorghum residue when we were planting this past year, and cotton emerging in that some of those plots. Again, we had a very limited amount of rainfall. We were fortunate to get a very good stand on all the crops this past year. So we felt good about that. This is just a few pictures from this year. This was the treatment where we had zero irrigation during the growing season, just a pre-plant. This was on August the 10th. Cotton in the foreground, then there's sorghum, and it's hard to tell, but there's corn back behind the sorghum. And this is the treatment where we're applying 3 inches in season. At this point in time, we probably had about 2.5 inches of water on these crops. And then the 6-inch treatment. Again, at this point in time, we probably had 4.5 to 5 inches of water on some of these crops. This is a volumetric water content to a depth of 7 feet. We measured that in each of the 39 different treatments that we had in the field. This graph shows two comparisons. One of the things we were looking at was what would be the effect of a previous crop coming into a new year in terms of soil water content. And this shows corn and continuous cotton, and we can see an increase in the amount of water that we've got stored in the second and third feet from having corn versus cotton in 2017. And then some yield data. This is this past year corn yield data at the lowest population, zero yield, where we had no seasonal irrigation. This is the second population, a higher population, see a little bit of a decrease in yield. Grain sorghum saw a fairly big decrease in yield at higher population there. And then comparison of grain sorghum to corn in terms of yield. There's interest in this. Grain sorghum is thought to be the more drought-tolerant crop, but we've seen over the past 2 years where some of these drought-tolerant hybrids can do fairly well. And then this is some data from continuous cotton treatments in 2017. With 6 inches, we got nearly 3 bales per acre in 17. 2018, we are approaching about 2 bales per acre. Now, the thing that we really wanted to do is make the comparison of cotton to continuous cotton treatment. And this is what this graph shows. This is at the zero, or basically a dry land irrigation treatment. This past year, we had about 200-pound yield in dry land, continuous cotton. All these other bars represent cotton yield that had a different history, previous history. The first grouping looks at cotton behind the alternative crops. The first two of those four bars are the cotton that followed corn from the previous year. The next two are from grain sorghum. And then the next group of four or cotton, they were 2 years away from alternative crops. Okay? All right, these next series of slides will show where we applied more seasonal irrigation. Again, this is this past year. Again, this is about 500 to 600 pound lint yield, 3 inches of water in season. The first two bars of that four, again, we see an effect of corn production. We're not seeing a big increase in any of these cotton yields from the previous history. And then this is a 6-inch water applied this past year. Not seeing the differences due to corn. One of the interesting things that I've seen is water productivity. And water productivity or water use efficiency here looks at the yield divided by the total water resource that went into that yield. So which includes rainfall, change in soil water content, as well as irrigation. And we see on these 6 years, 2015 we got hailed out, so I don't show that. But on each of those years, we're seeing an increase in water productivity with increase in irrigation amounts at these low levels, which means that we're also improving the water productivity of our rainfall by that amount. So what that implies is that we don't want to spread our water too thin. Okay. This final series of slides look at the gross irrigation value of the water applied. And this simply is the yield times the value of the crop or the commodity price divided by the irrigation that went in to make that yield. Again, we're comparing everything to continuous cotton. So we're seeing about $60 per acre inch of water. This is at the zero seasonal irrigation. This essentially means this is the value that we got out of those 3 inches of pre-plant irrigation that we applied early in the growing season. Okay, so the first series of four, again, is cotton behind the alternative crop. The first two bars, again, are due to the corn. The second grouping is 2 years away from the alternative crop. One reason you've got that one bar on the far right-hand side so high was that the previous year we did not have a cotton crop, so it's fallow. So we're seeing benefits of a fallow period. And then, of course, the alternative crops, corn and sorghum, at zero seasonal irrigation produced nothing, so we got zero return for those units of water that were applied. This is at 3 inches of water in season, and then 6 inches of water. Again, we're not seeing much return from the corn and sorghum this past year. And then this slide is there. This is essentially the same setup from some previous years. Instead of corn and sorghum on those far right-hand charts, we're looking at forage sorghum and sunflower. And I'm just pointing out that the non-BMR produced greater than the BMR forage sorghum, neither of which were produced more or had a higher gross water value than continuous cotton. And then sunflower and safflower, essentially the same thing. So, compared to continuous cotton, alternative crops did not consistently affect subsequent cotton yields. And there's certainly a possible exception being corn. We'll see how that holds up in the future. Cotton generally resulted in higher gross return per unit of water than the alternative crops. The next best thing, if you can get a price for it and a market for it, is non-BMR forage sorghum. Water productivity of rainfall improved with increasing irrigation amounts. And I think this is important to note, not to spread water too thinly. So with that, I thank you for your attention.
Jim, question for Jim. Okay. Did the non-BMR sorghum give you more residue persistence? That's higher latent, right?
I can't tell you that. I don't know.
It's supposed to be higher latent, I think.
In the residue?
Yeah,
No.
Thank you. My question is referring to one of your earlier slides where you were indicating that when cotton clogged corn, there was more water in the soil profile. Do you think because corn has a shallower rooting profile, why would that happen?
I don't know. Here again, I'm an engineer like you, not a physiologist. I don't understand exact all. I don't know. Part of it may have to do with the timing of rainfall that we got and the result. One of the interesting things that we're just starting to get into and look at is the amount of water that we've got in the 6th and 7th foot, very, very deep, and how that water increases and decreases. Like this past year, we've had a situation where we had water deep in the profile, but we didn't have enough rainfall in these light irrigations to get the roots down into that reservoir. So that reservoir is still there. So how does that affect in the future? And how can you use that to make decisions?
Is it possible that in that same situation, that since cotton was tampered with the system, compared to corn and rainfall, that it might have the potential for just a little bit of, I mean, the problem you get into with irrigation, you tend to make the cotton root shallower. Mm-hmm. If you've got moisture there, it's no reason to really, and that's where we get into trouble a lot in the Mid-South. If we overwater, and we run out of source of water or we get behind, the root system is shallow.
Right.
It runs out of water. It's already explored. Corn system is actually much better at exploring an area, but it's not necessarily that deep like a taproot.
Right.
So maybe something with cotton if it could ever get down there.
Yeah.
That's off of these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, one question. You started with sapphire and sunfire. What were your maybe reasonings or what did you see with sunflower and sapphire carry the sorghum in corn?
Sapphire doesn't work. The yield off of sunflowers. Sapphire is just won't compete with cotton. Sunflower worked very well and won out of the 5 years that were, and that was, here again, that was a situation where the timing of rainfall. So sunflowers is, you know, our original thought was that sunflower would harvest water much deeper and have a negative effect on the subsequent cotton crop. But we didn't see that.
Why do you think the corn yields after corn are better than yields after sorghum? What's going on there?
I don't know. If those particular hybrids of corn did very well under the conditions that we had versus sorghum, both of them were, you know, based on field tests, company tests, were the ones that produced well under drought conditions. I don't know, and I'm also wondering why that occurred. In if you look at the corn versus the sorghum water use patterns, and here again we've only got basically 1 year data on that. The sorghum used more water than corn. So, I don't know. It, you know, 1 year's worth of data is, you know, how that's. No, we don't have that problem, that issue, in that particular field. We'd have a little bit of verticillium wilt, but not much.
Well, one comment also, you know, you mentioned safflower. Safflower was used a lot in California on continuous life soils. If they ever want to dry them out, that's the crop we tend to want to use because it can extract moisture down deep, especially on the clay soils in the Sacramento River Valley. Which that would surprise me when I was out here that it could pool that much water. Now, they don't use any irrigation on the safflower, but the yields are decent enough to keep the next going without the high water.
I see. We did not see the deep harvesting with safflower. But again, we did not plant safflower in the traditional method. We planted it in a row and had a furrow where we'd drag a leap of sock through there and irrigate it. So we were kind of shooting ourselves in the foot with safflower anyway. But the yields were terrible compared to sunflower.